This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. We're talking golf on this edition, and we're welcoming Matt Sawicki, the director of the U.S. Women's and Senior Women's Open Championships, the 72nd U.S. Women's Open Championship to be contested at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, from July 10th through the 16th. Someone who knows all the details is Matt Sawicki. Matt, thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Doug, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
So your connection with golf goes all the way back to your dad, Mike, when he was a caddy in St. Louis, and also he fitted golf clubs, too. Tell us about how this has basically been a part of your life since you're a wee lad.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people think I came out of the womb with a golf club in hand, actually. But my dad was the one who really got me started with the game. He was a club fitter. He actually started as a caddy. That's how I started my journey in the game, really. He caddied in a Ryder Cup in 1971. And at that time, he opened up a club fitting shop in St. Louis. And it was really the only club fitting shop in the Midwest. And he opened it with a gentleman named Sid Solomon III. And Sid III, as he was known in St. Louis, happened to be the owner of the St. Louis Blues hockey team. And he convinced my dad that he ought to go buy an RV and travel around following the professional golf tour fitting players' clubs, because nobody did that at that time. And my dad thought he was crazy and thought it was a silly idea. And now there are people who make billions of dollars doing that. And, well, I guess I wouldn't have had to be a caddy if my dad had just followed up on that idea.
He must have been a pretty good caddy, because at the Cherry Hills Country Club in Denver, Colorado, it was good enough to earn you the Arnold Palmer Scholarship.
Well, Cherry Hills is a special place, and the reason why they give away an Arnold Palmer Scholarship is, of course, that's where Mr. Palmer won the 1960 U.S. Open Championship. A guy named Hogan finished second, and I believe a guy named Nicklaus finished third.
Then comes Palmer. From the edge of the last green, he rolls a chip right up beside the hole. Then Palmer drops the putt and tosses his cap in the air as he wins with a sensational last round 65 and a score of 280. An amazing triumph with the most sensational rally in open golf history.
It was a pretty good open. I was really privileged to caddy there as a kid, caddied at Belrive Country Club in St. Louis growing up as well, and was fortunate enough to earn a scholarship to the University of Colorado, and am forever indebted to a lot of good friends that I made back there in Denver.
So the fact that you won a scholarship in the name of this amazing athlete and someone really world known, one of the most recognized names and faces, Muhammad Ali and Arnold Palmer, two of the most recognized people in sports history, and maybe even, you know, throw sports out and just talk about, if you mention the name, what did that mean and what does it still mean? Because it follows you.
It means a lot. And I have a framed photo of Arnold Palmer that hangs in my office at the USGA of his visor toss that is so famous that was on television from that 1960 Open. And underneath it, it's got a letter recognizing me as an Arnold Palmer Scholarship Award winner. And it's signed by Mr. Palmer. But whenever there were so many tributes to him after his passing last year, and every one of those talked about how genuine, how sincere he was with every single person he met. And in my very limited interaction with him, it was that exact same sentiment from him. It didn't matter who you were, whether you were a steelworker from Pittsburgh or the wealthiest person at the nicest country club in the world. Mr. Palmer spoke to you, addressed you the exact same way. You know, when you think about the way people ought to live their lives and the way I think I try and interact with other people I come across, I'm often reminded of the way he interacted with others and try and use that as a model for how I operate with family, friends, and in business. It's just a great way to live and a great way to treat people.
Arnold Palmer passed away in September of 2016, near and dear to the heart of my family as well. I was just talking about just moments before we went on the air about a special picture that hangs in my dad's room that is with Arnold Palmer and the comedian Jackie Gleason. And it's entitled "In Away We Go," a time period piece that is just wonderful. And my dad has had the opportunity to meet Arnold through the years. My dad, at 87, is still an avid golfer, golfs once a week. Well, he won't be able to compete in the big tournament coming up. He's not a gal. But you have some of the greatest players in the world getting ready to come to New Jersey at this course at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster to capture one of the most coveted, prestigious championships for women in golf. First of all, how excited are you that the USGA calls Far Hills, New Jersey home, and now we have this major tournament coming to the Garden State?
Well, it's been 30 years since we've been in the Garden State, in fact, and we're more than excited to be here in New Jersey. And in fact, when you think about this championship, and it's not just a national championship, it's a global championship. It's truly the best players in the world who qualify, who represent not only themselves, but in a lot of cases, their countries in this championship. And to have it just down the road from our museum, where our trophies reside permanently and where the champions have their name inscribed on the wall in our Hall of Champions at our museum in Far Hills, New Jersey. It'll be a special feeling to have it as a home game and for that champion hopefully to pay a visit just down the road and have a memory that will last forever, not just winning the championship in Bedminster, but having their name inscribed just down the road from there.
And what a history of the U.S. Women's Open Championship here in New Jersey. You mentioned this will be the seventh time that that happens, but the first one was in 1948. Someone considered one of the greatest women athletes of all time, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias, winning at the Atlantic City Country Club.
Well, I think that speaks to why the U.S. Women's Open is so important to the game of golf, but certainly how prestigious it is, and why the players want to win it. Brittany Lang said it last year. She won. She was standing on the 18th green. She was being interviewed by Fox, our broadcast partner. And she said, "This is what I've dreamed of since I was a little girl."
Here's the final putt. This is what seals it for Brittany Lang. In her 12th try in a U.S. Women's Open Championship, she ends up on top.
And when you look at the names on that trophy, it's not just Babe Diedrichson Zaharias. It's Mickey Wright, Betsy Rawls. You look later, you've got players like Laura Davies and Annika Sorenstam. It truly is the best players in the world have won this championship, and they all aspire to win it, really from the time they pick up a club. And it's considered the greatest honor of their professional career.
Laura Davies won in the last time it was here in New Jersey in 1987 at the Plainfield Country Club. You mentioned so many amazing people. Mickey Wright, Carol Mann, Sandra Palmer, and Kathy Baker Guadagnino were the other winners here in New Jersey for this wonderful tournament. So it does mean a lot.
It means everything. At the end of the day, this championship, the anecdote I always use to describe it is if you were to go to a men's event, if you had been down at Harbor Town and walked up and down the range and asked the players, what major do you want to win the most? You'd get a lot that said, I want to win the Masters. Certainly a good number would say the U.S. Open is the one I want to win the most. A lot of the foreigners would say the Open Championship, and then certainly a handful with the PGA Championship that was at Baltusrol in New Jersey last summer. So you get a variety of answers. If you went to a women's event and did that exact same exercise and said, what tournament do you want to win the most? 100% unequivocally would say, I want to win the U.S. Women's Open. And that just speaks to how important it is to these players.
It was the first major for Brittany Lang, right?
It was her first major. It's been a lot of players' first majors. And what we've seen over the past several years is it's been an introduction to the world of golf for a lot of foreign-born players who'd done well in their respective home countries qualified for the Women's Open. We conduct four international qualifiers for the Women's Open now. We host one in Europe, Japan, China, and Korea. But ultimately, it gives them an opportunity to be seen on a world stage.
And speaking of that world stage, some of the greatest golfers right now in the top 10 dominated by Korea, Japan, and the U.S. Why is that?
You know, I don't think anyone knows why that is specifically, but certainly you see it when you look at the Rolex World Rankings. You see a lot of foreign-born players who have honed their craft. A lot of them have grown up playing in the United States. But at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of great American players who are there. Stacey Lewis certainly being one of them. Brittany Lang, our champion. Christy Kerr, there's an American player who, when you think about it, this is the 10th anniversary of her U.S. Women's Open victory at Pine Needles. She just won a couple of weeks ago in Hawaii. So it's a great mix, and I think it speaks to the global nature of the LPGA Tour. Certainly, in a previous decade, it truly was just American players. But when Laura Davies won and captured that victory here at Plainfield in New Jersey, all of a sudden you started to see an international flair. And then in 1998 at Kohler, you saw Sayree Pak win and what that did in inspiring a new generation of players from South Korea. So when you look at the Women's Open and then you look at the global nature of the LPGA Tour, a lot of that is due to players getting their first opportunity, playing in a U.S. Women's Open, winning it, and people around the world seeing that victory.
You mentioned the Rolex rankings right now. Lydia Ko is number one in the rankings. But Christy Kerr, even though she's raised in Florida, she does have some roots to Long Island, so there's a little bit closer. But what about these courses in New Jersey? You know, this course here, Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, obviously, why is it special? Why would the U.S. Women's Championship come to this course?
Well, this course is very special. When you look at it, whenever we look at a golf course that's going to host a USGA championship, we want the players, A, to be tested with every golf club in their bag. We consider it the ultimate test, not just physical, but mental as well. And on all 18 holes, you have to think your way around that golf course. And ultimately, we saw that back in 2009, Trump National Bedminster hosted both the Junior Amateur and Girls Junior Amateur Championships concurrently. Those championships were won by a woman named Amy Anderson, who now has her LPGA card, and a gentleman by the name of Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth has won the U.S. Open.
But ultimately, the test that was presented to the best juniors in the world is now going to be extended to the best women players in the world. And we saw in 2009 the test it could present and believe it will provide the ultimate test here in 2017.
You talk about the wonderful player, Jordan Spieth. How about Sergio Garcia winning the Masters, something that we never thought was ever going to happen with him, right?
Well, you know, if you asked our senior content director at the USGA about Sergio Garcia, he'd tell you he was destined to win 50 majors. But ultimately, I think everybody in the golf world was excited for Sergio. It's a long time coming. You know, there are all these lists that are always put out there by the media, the greatest player to not win a major. I think Sergio was pretty high on that list. And so anytime a player of that caliber can come off that, can win a major championship and win it in the fashion he did. He beat our 2013 U.S. Open champion, Justin Rose. I thought it was great golf all the way around, and it was just fun to watch. And that's what golf should be all about, the sportsmanship, the camaraderie, and ultimately just good play.
Kind of like Peyton Manning when he finally won a Super Bowl, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Having
right.
this wonderful player who finally gets the ultimate prize. You're listening right now to Sports Jam, and my guest is Matt Sawicki, the director of the U.S. Women's and Senior Women's Open Championships. And you're saying, boy, Matt is so well-spoken and so passionate about golf. He was a broadcast journalism major at the University of Colorado in Boulder. That's why you're so good behind the mic, huh?
Well, that's questionable. I appreciate the compliment. But yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to go to the University of Colorado and got towards the end of my tenure with broadcast journalism and looked out onto the job market and realized the only thing I had done since I was 11 years old was work in the game of golf. And was lucky enough to find an opportunity with the USGA right out of college. And those hard-earned scholarship dollars that went towards a broadcast journalism education went right out the window as I went right back into the golf world.
How often do you hit the fairways?
You know what? I'm fortunate to play. If I get 10 rounds in a year, I'd be very happy with that. I don't get to play nearly as much as I like to. The great part about my job is I'm on a golf course during the summer almost every day. And to me, that gives me great joy. I love the game. And just being around it is generally enough for me.
So you mentioned Fox is your partner for this event coming up July 10th through the 16th. We have the 72nd U.S. Women's Open Championship at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey. When you watch the golf, now you've had you don't get out much playing, but you've had the experience as a caddy, which a lot of people say is a totally different experience. How do you watch the sport of golf?
Well, you know, Doug, in my role, the first thing I'm looking at when I watch golf on television is the placement of the porta potties and the rope lines and all those outside the ropes things that I'm constantly thinking about in running the U.S. Women's Open. But ultimately, I'm like everyone else, and I'm fortunate enough to have a yardage book from a few of these golf courses, I'm a bit of a nerd. My wife would tell you that, where I'll pull out my yardage book and I'll be looking about where the players are and where they're hitting their shots from. And I love it. And some of the networks really do this well. And Fox really has done a great job with their sound technology as part of their coverage of our USGA championships. But I just love listening to the dialogue between a player and the caddy and that thought process, when they start talking about club selection and wind direction and aiming points. That's all the stuff that I grew up in as a kid doing with amateur players. And we as players, you know, go through that mental routine of what we have to do. And so hearing that dialogue, that's my favorite part of watching golf coverage. I love it. I love seeing those courses. I love seeing the shot-making ability that these players have. And that's what's so fun about watching golf in person. You see it on TV, but you really don't realize how good these guys, and gals for that matter, truly are. They are master professionals at their craft, and they really can do anything they want with a golf ball.
The very first time I attended a major event, Tiger Woods was at the tee, and he also had some amazing players there, and it was in New Jersey. And I'm going, I can't believe how close the crowd is allowed to be off the tee, because if I was teeing off, there would be injuries. There would be a lot of people picked off with a line drive either to the left or to the right. So you do, right away, you appreciate, if you're a duffer like me, how difficult it really is. Hey, you know, I had a chance to be a caddy at Westmoreland Country Club and, you know, back home in Pennsylvania. It didn't help me through the years. Why did it help you?
Well, Doug, you're sitting across the glass. My broadcast journalism degree didn't help me sit where you're sitting, obviously. So it goes both ways as far as I'm concerned.
It was fun being a caddy, though, I must admit.
You know, it's a great way to learn the game growing up. There's so many opportunities for people to be involved in the game of golf. You see the impact that golf has from an economic standpoint. These championships have a tremendous economic impact on the communities where they're hosted. Golf gives a tremendous amount of money back to charity. And what's neat about the game is really the values you learn through it. And whether you're a player, whether you're a caddy or a golf professional or even on the ground staff, there are just certain values inherent in the game that you learned growing up that serve you well in whatever walk of life you take after you leave the game.
You won't be able to be the caddy for Inbee Park or Inji Chun or Christy Kerr, but you can watch the event. You can go to the event in Bedminster. Those who want to watch it up close and personal and see these wonderful ladies do their thing, how can they get involved?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you can get involved as a fan by purchasing tickets, or certainly you can volunteer for the golf championship as well. And the best way to do that is via our website, and that's www.2017uswomensopen.com. All the information is on that site. There are a myriad of opportunities, and you mentioned it before, and I'll reiterate this with attending a golf event. When you buy a regular ticket at a golf tournament, you can walk up and stand right next to the rope line. You can sit in the front row of the grandstands. And the best part at the U.S. Women's Open, kids 17 and under get in free for the championship. I can't think of another sport. We were talking about hockey before you came on the air. You can't go sit on the glass with your kids for free for the Stanley Cup Finals. Here you've got the most prestigious event in women's golf, and with the price of a general admission ticket, you can bring your kids in for free. You can interact with the players and stand right next to them as they're playing in the most prestigious event of the year for them.
I can tell you, Matt is smiling. You probably can hear it in his voice when he's talking about hockey, too, because his St. Louis Blues are one of the best teams right now. He's a happy camper as far as his St. Louis Blues. You're also a Cardinals fan, I would imagine?
When you're born in St. Louis, you're born a Cardinals fan, and you have no other choice. I loved them, but it was hard seeing them get beat up by the Yankees here in New York a few weeks ago.
But you're kind of spoiled, as people will say, to Steelers fans, and that the Cardinals, our own Michael Bourne, our midday host and host of the Blues program, the Blues Break here, is a huge St. Louis fan. He is from St. Louis. In fact, he was also the college roommate of actor Kevin Kline. And that's how he actually came out to this area. And just saw Kevin, by the way, on Broadway. He's in Present Laughter right now and said Kevin was wonderful. But Michael is a huge Cardinals fan, so much that if you asked him who was in the Super Bowl, he couldn't tell you. But he could tell you the order of the Cardinals lineup from 1960 to present day. Now, let's talk a little bit about, once again, when you're at the event. You know, one of the things that struck me is just the different sizes and shapes of golfers. When I was watching Vijay Singh, he was like majestic. You know, you don't even get that on TV sometimes. I saw him. He's this huge man who just the way he carried himself was so perfect. Who on the women's circuit do you look at and say, wow, you can just tell that this person has what it takes?
Well, you know, the first name that comes to mind is Lexi Thompson. And Lexi was featured in Golf Digest a couple years ago regarding her workout routine. When you see Lexi's power in her swing, and what's fun about watching the women is a lot of their swings are a lot more comparable to what you'd see between you, me, or what you might see on a practice range any other day. When you go watch a men's event, there's no way any of us could swing the same way we do. That being said, when you watch Lexi swing, it's so powerful and fluid.
At 16, Lexi Thompson's tee shot.
Ultimate matchup here. Toughest driving hole out here. Best driver on tour.
That was a no-doubter.
She just hits the ball differently. The way the ball comes off the club sounds differently than her fellow competitors. On the men's tour, you'd say that about Jason Day or DJ, but certainly Dustin Johnson. But on the women's tour, Lexi's that one who hits the golf ball differently than everyone else.
Wind off the right. And that, well, I'll tell you what, she makes it look easy, doesn't she, driving the golf ball? Perfect.
One of the things that's exciting to me about golf, too, is the fact that you might want to throw Tiger's run out of there. There are so many people that can win this tournament. You know, when you go into the NFL season, you know the Patriots, if Tom Brady is healthy, the Patriots are going to be there, right? And even in the, you know, the other sports, you know the Cavaliers in the NBA and the Warriors are going to be there and the Spurs are going to be there. But with golf, you never quite know. And this time it was Sergio on the men's side, you know, and last year was Brittany Lang winning her first at the U.S. Women's Open. You agree with that?
Well, my favorite part about our Open Championships is that on Thursday morning, the number one ranked player in the world has as equal an opportunity to win the championship as someone who had the appropriate handicap, who qualified in a town far, far away, who's just an amateur player. They have the same opportunity to win standing on the tee on Thursday morning. And that's the greatest thing about golf is it's an individual game, but you're certainly trying. You're playing the elements. You're playing the golf course. In a lot of ways, you're playing yourself out there. And it's a great sport. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the player who has it the best that week is going to win. And anybody can do it when you're standing on the tee on Thursday morning.
For the 72nd U.S. Women's Open Championship at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, I would imagine you shouldn't wait if you want to get tickets, right? And is it better to, you know, if it's your first time, maybe to shoot for one of the earlier days, the Thursday or Friday, as compared to Saturday, Sunday? How does that work?
Well, Thursday through Sunday are our championship rounds, and that's certainly a lot of fun. Thursday and Friday, you're going to see all 156 competitors in the field. Saturday and Sunday, we cut the field to low 60 and ties. The one thing I always encourage people to do is to try and go for a practice round, and our practice rounds are Monday through Wednesday. The reason why I always encourage people who've never been to a golf tournament to go on those days is those are the days where the players are available to sign autographs. They're constantly interacting with fans. On Wednesday, you're going to see we've got a clinic that's going to occur. So there's an opportunity for juniors to interact with some of the players a little bit closer than they normally would. And for those who are really golf savvy and avid golf fans, on the weekdays, that's the opportunity to get out and walk the golf course and just see the golf course. I know whenever I go and spectate at a golf tournament, I love going on the practice rounds because it's the greatest opportunity just to see the course they're going to play. And then, of course, Saturday and Sunday, you sit in the grandstands, you hear all the roars. There's just this excitement, enthusiasm, and even I think as a fan, you get those nervous butterflies in your stomach Sunday as you're watching it come down the stretch. And certainly at Trump National Bedminster, where 16, 17, 18 all come together at the end. As you're watching and you get two or three players who are down and they're vying for perhaps the greatest win in their professional career, it's hard not to get caught up in the enthusiasm and excitement of a national championship happening right in front of you.
You mentioned it briefly earlier in the show, the trophies. You know, I know that you as a hockey fan, you covet the Stanley Cup as one of the greatest trophies. But these trophies, especially for the women's championship, a lovely trophy. Can you describe it for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the U.S. Women's Open trophy, what's so neat about it, and I think the first thing people gravitate toward is the names that are inscribed on it. And you mentioned a lot of those names earlier, as did I, of the players who've won that championship. And when you think about there's two handles and just this ornate nature of this perfectly shined silver trophy. It's not that heavy, but the weight that comes with winning it is perhaps unparalleled. And when we talk about the excitement and knowing that when that final group's coming up the 18th hole and that trophy is just sitting behind the putting green, it's a lot of pressure for those players who might be winning it for the first time. And it's still a lot of pressure for those players who already have their name inscribed it. And that feeling that certainly none of us in this room will ever feel, but the idea of standing out there, having your name called as champion, and ultimately lifting that trophy and giving it that kiss, I can't imagine what that's like. I know the feeling of carrying that trophy out there and setting it out on the podium before it's giving away, but I can't imagine the feeling of knowing I've earned the right to have my name inscribed upon it.
We're about to wrap up this edition of Sports Jam. What was the first major tournament that you ever went to?
The PGA Championship at Belrive Country Club back in 1992. It was a I'll never forget. I went out there with my dad. I think we went out every day. It was the first time I got the opportunity to see Mr. Nicholas, Mr. Palmer, Mr. Player. They all played in a practice round together that week. It was unseasonably cool. And I still have a picture of the third hole. It's a par three. That's where we saw all three of those gentlemen tee off in a practice round. And every time I see a painting of that hole in my home, I think of that moment. And it really, as a kid, it exposed me to the game, and I got to see the players who I admired so much. And that's why I speak so passionately about getting kids out to not just any golf tournament, but especially the Women's Open, to see a national championship, to see it as a kid. It will spark that lifetime interest in the game of golf.
I have a feeling I would love to visit your home and see all this memorabilia that you have around, which brings me to my final question. Your dad, Mike, he's not allowed to be an answer here, okay? You get the opportunity to go back in the Wayback Machine a little bit, but you're playing at Trump National Bedminster for a round of golf, and you can have three people to make up your foursome. Who's going to join you? They don't have to be golfers. Who are the three people that you want to play a round of golf with, and why?
Oh my gosh, that's such a difficult question. If I was going to choose an athlete, I think the person who comes to mind is Michael Jordan. From my generation, I'd consider him the greatest athlete and greatest competitor of his generation. If I had to pick, a political figure crossing the spectrum, I think Abraham Lincoln would certainly be that person. I'm not sure that Honest Abe played the game of golf, but certainly would enjoy a round of golf with him.
Might have a penny as the marker, at least.
If I was going to name a golfer, I'd want it to be Arnold Palmer to fill out. I think that would be a pretty good foursome. I think we'd have some interesting conversation and just a nice round, a nice day walking for a few hours together.
You've hit upon why I enjoy the game of golf. It's the camaraderie. It's the sharing of stories, the information, and just great fun when you're out on the golf course. Before we wrap up this edition of Sports Jam, Matt, once again, those who want to get involved and where they need to go.
www.2017uswomensopen.com. That's where you can find all of the information about tickets, opportunities to be a fan at the championship, but also the opportunity to volunteer. There's the opportunity to be inside the ropes as a volunteer at the championship as a marshal, to work on one of our leaderboards. It's a great opportunity to experience a championship inside the ropes and get a behind-the-scenes knowledge of how it works.
Matt Sawicki is the director of the U.S. Women's and Senior Women's Open Championships for the 72nd U.S. Women's Open Championship set for July 10th through the 16th at Trump National Bedminster. Great to have you on the show. Good luck to your St. Louis Blues. I'm not going to give you as much luck to the Cardinals because you know they're in the same division as the Pirates and are always our nemesis, but we wish you the best and continued success in your role here with the USGA and also with the U.S. Women's Open Championships.
Doug, if you'd wish the Cardinals good luck, I would have included you in that foursome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Matt. Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the podcasts by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.